everybody's hands busy down here in any real way. We can only put 2 to 3 men installation or women installing on a solar job. So in some ways, I'm having the feeling that you guys are going to be like, wow, this is interesting and all, but I'm not going to sit around here for hours and hours watching, you know, you guys measure and cut solder, copper pipe.
So this is an 80-gallon tank?
That's a 50-gallon tank.
I was going to say, that's about my size.
Yep, that's a 50-gallon tank. So I'll show you the general layout of how it works, and we'll talk about some specifics, and we'll take a look at it. So basically, solar installers are glorified plumbers and roofers and electricians all at once. So you get to do all three things, which is fun and interesting. But in general, the way we were going to set this up, and Vic ran an orange line, and he said, I ran the orange line where we thought it was going to go. So the orange line dives over there. So we're going to put the water heater over where this fan is when we're all said and done. But I'll leave it over here in the light so we can talk about it some and kind of get an idea of how it physically works. And again, you guys are all welcome to stay here. We're probably going to leave at 2-ish or so and come back for completion on this job. And there's no way for me to keep everybody's hands at all busy down here, but you guys get a much better idea of what to expect and what it looks like. So so in general, this is how we're going to set one of these guys up. We're going to set this up on top of the water heater where it's simple and easy to do the plumbing to it. And we're going to set it up so that it is both cost-effective and efficient.
Does it need to be on top of the
roof? No, we mount them in all different places, in crawl spaces.
Like I've got a crawl space.
Yeah, crawl, yeah. No, in a crawl, we put 2 40-gallon water heaters tied together so they're piped so that this water, this circulator pump circulates through both of them. And
so 80 gallons is recommended?
What's that? That would go in series. In series, yeah. So a pump. So this small pump here is a little bronze pump that we're going to attach. We're putting a T on the bottom of the water heater so it has a boiler drain. We've taken the original boiler drain out. This pump is going to be located about here. It's going to pump up, and it's going to pump into that heat exchanger. We're going to get the water hot. It's going to come out of that top part there. We're going to put a little bleed here so we can get the air out of this little loop. And then we're going to come down and drop it back into the cold water of the water heater. All right? Pretty straightforward and relatively simple in effect. Hot water is going to continue to come out and go as a preheat to Vic's 50-gallon gas water heater here. And we'll set this up so that we can then...
So this is just going to be a preheat?
This will be a preheat for his water heater. His water heater currently has cold water coming in. You can tell your water coming in is going to have a cutoff valve on it. So that's his water coming in, and this is his hot water going out. All right? So what we would do is we would come in here and
so
we will...
got two tanks.
Okay. We'll snip this line here, add the cold coming in. We'll run the cold over to our water heater, into the cold there. We'll take our hot out of our water heater and come back, and it'll then connect to the pipe cord into his water heater. So then when he runs his hot water at his tap up there, the cold water will come in, go through our water heater, okay, the hot solar water will come out, come into this tank, and the gas won't turn on the heat of that.
You're going to double the capacity. Yeah.
That's right. Now for Vic, we're also going to set up a piping so that we can cut this guy out completely. So we'll set up piping and valve, so we'll bypass it. So before we go into this tank, we'll put a T and a cutoff valve, and we'll put it up to here. And then we'll also put a cutoff valve here.
And that'd be like, especially if you wanted to sell a house, people might be nervous.
Yeah, and so Vic can say, okay, I'm going to come down here, I'll cut my gas off, and I'll cut my bypass on, and I'm just going to run off of that.
Right, but so you got...
Because you're not going to wire it for...
He's going to wire it in theory for backup. He had the electrician run it when he was doing some other work here because it didn't cost him any real money to do it. But then he'd have the ability to turn this one on as a backup. And so a backup on this tank is going to heat, you know, 25, 30 gallons for a single guy in the house alone is probably plenty. Gets a girlfriend likes a big bath every day, then going to have one more. Yeah, and again, this is going to heat up hotter, so we'll put a tempering valve in it. That type of scenario too.
And when you say 25-30, you just mean that's just typically easy?
No, because we're going to cut off the bottom element. Because one of the key things about solar, people say, well, I got a big gas water here, I can just put it right in there. Because there's a thermostat in here all day long that says, okay, when the temperature of this tank drops below this thermostat temperature, heat it back up. And so with the solar system, you don't want any auxiliary heat coming on at all, ideally. So a standalone tank as a preheat is really a good system. So, but our standard system with an 80-gallon would only have a top element. Most water heaters have an element here and then an element here. And so the way it works is this one uses power until this little thermostat set. And I'm going to grab a screwdriver. We don't have all of our tools down there, so I apologize. And I have to kind of go back and forth a couple times. But, so I'll give you a quick water heater education too, because this is a big part of it. So what you have in a water heater, don't try this at home, kids, unless you turn off the electricity first or are very understanding of how it works. And this thing doesn't have the electricity on it, so we'll remove the safety cover and pull off the little bit of insulation there so we can see. Okay, so this water heater has electricity coming in and a little temperature gauge here. And so, and this temperature gauge is set from 90 to 150. And so what happens is behind this, this is called the thermostat, and this is the heating element. This heating element is a resistance heater. Looks like a, when you see a space heater you turn on, you plug it into a wall, and it turns bright red in the coils. That's what's inside here, basically. This thermostat can be set from 90 degrees to 150. So so if you want your water heater to be really hot, turn it up really high. If you want to save energy, turn it down. One of the best ways to save energy on heating water is to go to your water heater, turn it down 10 degrees. See if you can live with that. Turn it down 5 more if you can live with that. Every degree you turn it down reduces your standing losses and reduces the amount of energy it takes to heat the water. So what actually happens, though, is when this thermostat's satisfied, it says, okay, I'm done, and it clicks over, and it then energizes the bottom thermostat.
So neither, they're not running simultaneously.
They never run simultaneously. The wire is only rated to run one or the other. So the bottom thermostat is a little bit different, but has the same thing. It has a temperature on it. So in theory, you could also turn your bottom ones usually 10, 15, 20 degrees lower than your top one. Because in reality, so you can save money that way. This has an element and a thermostat. The thermostat's slightly different because this one has to say, I'm done, send it to the next one. This one is just the next one. So it's a little bit different. So in our standard 80-gallon tank, you would have just an upper thermostat element. It would look like this in the top half. And so it would only heat the top half. The bottom half has a little port for the solar sensor doing it. So, so in a standard 80-gallon tank, you have your backup element at the top and then your solar heating the rest of the tank. So what usually happens is if it's sized properly and sited properly, installed well, is that the system's going to heat the water heater up 130, 140 degrees, significantly above what your set point is here. Every sunny day, you're going to use up your water, usually not all of it in reality, and then this element never kicks back on because it's so high. So the water temperature is so high. So in general, this backup element is going to run very little in an 80-gallon tank. That's proper.
Are there baffles inside, or is it just a big tank?
Just a big tank inside. There's nothing else in it. Yep. Yeah. Okay. The cold water delivers the water all the way to the bottom of the tank, and the hot water pulls it off of the top, so the hot water sits at the top of the tank. Unless you mess up the dip tubes, which I've seen happen.
It's kind of my house that way, and they put the shutoff on the outbound side, too.
Your
plumber water heater broke.
Yeah, that's we see them that way all the time. And then the homeowner says, "This hot water isn't hot enough. Let's turn it up."
Yeah.
And you just keep turning it up higher and higher, and you're like,
"Never got hot." Yeah. It's not enough for me, but not my house.
Yeah, exactly. So in general, if Vic does hook this up an electric element, we will disconnect the wires going to this bottom element, and he'll have 30 gallons or whatever this top half of the tank is, 25, 30 gallons. About half. And it tends just to heat the top of the tank. It doesn't tumble the whole tank in general. That can change under some circumstances, but very rarely will that happen. So, in effect, the next things that we're going to do to install Vic's water heating system are to start cleaning copper pipes and to start getting ready to solder some pipes together and put that together. So,
the pipes from up on the roof, where you're running those through the wall?
Yeah, there's a little debate on that about where exactly those will go at this point, because we haven't spent a lot of time in the roof, but you'll see that frequently in a house you'll have some sort of chase when you shine a flashlight up in the place between the framing members and this chimney, there's a good 2 inches you see there, inch and a half. We'll probably chase up next to the chimney in all likelihood. Or there's also some chases that go from the attic all the way down to the crawl space here, the basement crawl space. So we'll pick one of those two areas. A lot of houses will poke out a foundation wall, go into a gutter pipe, and go up the whole side of the house and under the roof, over the eave and under the roof.
If you're out like that, does that need to be insulated then?
The pipes are always going to be insulated with an inch wall thickness closed cell insulation.
No like off of the air conditioning?
Type? Yeah, it just looks just like your air conditioning insulation. That's right. Yep. And there's a little bit of an efficiency loss, but not that much.
Right.
In the summertime, when it's hot outside and the sun's on it, you gain it a little. In the wintertime, you lose it a little. In general, the summertime, you can get all your hot water from the sun pretty much. In the wintertime, it's going to drop to more like, 60%. And that's why we average to somewhere in the 70 to 80% on the high side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other ideas or questions? I've never had so many hands. I'm thinking, what's up? How the heck am I going to keep people busy here? That's kind of the laydown of it. That's where we start. And so you'll see two pumps. One of the things that we may look at doing here is I'm just thinking this through in my mind right now, kind of talking out loud, talking before I'm thinking too much. But we may come back and see if this system finished. And invite everyone to come back here for an hour of here's how it works on a sunny day. Or something like that might be even a better sort of like, this is what we talked about and here's what happened. Because now we have all the equipment here.
I just need Vic to learn enough so that he can do it.
Exactly, yeah. So we're currently working on kind of the homeowner video because we've freaked the homeowners. Well, now that it's running, come explain to me how it works. And so we send a guy over there and it takes an hour and a half. And then not that there's not value added, but in the end, it's like, we should have a video so that when the next homeowner comes in, it's a CD. It's like, oh yeah, here's how it works for you, and you don't have to, so people understand. Because in reality, all those used panels came off of a commercial job where it was a great system. It was working great. They had some problems with the backup heat and some other issues with it. And then the maintenance guy who installed it went to another job, and he gave the manual to the next guy and said, here's how this thing works, here's how you fix it. And then that guy was either fired or promoted, and he threw the manual away. And the third guy got there, and he asked the guys that were working there, what's the solar system doing? They're like, it's just a pain in the butt. Shut it off. Put some gas water heaters in to heat the pool at Ravenscroft School is where it was. And that's what they did, and they sat up on the roof for 10 years doing nothing.
Really?
Yep. And you see that in commercial jobs all the time. You see that in residential jobs. A new homeowner comes in and says, gosh, that thing's rattling. It's dribbling. It's unplug it. Oh, stop it, honey. It's fine now. And it's like nobody even understands what it is. I mean, that's how the world works. The real world, in fact. So.
My neighbor's a roofer. He said a lot of jobs he gets, people are just pulling the solar panels off the roof because they're leaking.
Because the roofs are leaking?
Yeah.
We see very little roof leaks. I mean, you will see on occasion 20 years later that the piece of plywood below the solar panel or a spot of that has to be replaced.
Right.
That's a $25, $30 where a roofer normally
returns. That's maintenance.
That's maintenance, yeah. So you might see, $100 there, $150 maybe on the high end because there's four penetrations. But the panels themselves are rarely leaking. In fact, if you have your roofer, I'd love to get his number because we generally will work with roofers to take them down because they're taking them off the roof, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we work with roofers like that and either recycle them or resell them, basically.
Yeah,
issues, man.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to them.
You'll find 20 years later, that 20, 30 years later, that a lot of those systems were either possibly installed improperly and not flashed right or not caulked properly, or the caulk was never maintained in any way, or it just was a position that didn't do really well. So you see very little like, gosh, this system's leaking, but I'll say 20, 25 years later, I've seen, a piece of plywood underneath it that's gotten moist and is soft.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty common. Well, it's just a tiny bit of water make it through that lag, and it might eventually...
You get a roof last 20 years, you're doing all right.
Yeah, and a little bit of... You have to replace some plywood on almost any roof 20 years old. Mm-hmm. So there's no question that there is some sort of liability at the 20-year mark. And the panels themselves, either A, they haven't had acidic fluid in them, and they've been either drain back, a drain back system, the panel is almost always fine. A pressurized closed loop, about half the time they're worth nothing, half the time they're worth something. It's hard to say. But yeah, we do see that too, no question about it. Yep.
Do you think most plumbers would be comfortable swapping out another hot water heater if they walk into a situation like this, or would they say, like,
oh. Most plumbers would say, oh, you're crazy, I wouldn't do that. Most plumbers would say, no, I wouldn't touch it. Yeah, most plumbers would say they could. But
you're going to grow in business and be around.
We are planning on that. That's right. This little business that we started is going to be a bigger business. So yeah, but it can be done relatively easily. And what we supply the homeowner with is like a laminated card that gets tagged to this guy.
Here's how to do it.
And here's how to do it. It shows exactly what's going on. And so the plumber looks at it. At first they look at it, they're like, I don't know, guys. Looks really crazy. And then the other guy's like, we got two connections in addition to the other.
I think it looks pretty simple. I don't think it's a big deal.
It's not, and it's just to convince the average plumber that's the case.
They just don't like anything extra. But they charge me $75 an hour, so my God, they can think a little.
They're certainly. So in a trade, it's $75 an hour for a trade guy. It's probably not crazy out there for what they have to deal with on the side of it. We charge about that too. But the end, that's right. It's not complex. It's not complicated. Unplug it, and you got two extra connections. And then, so we use unions in all of ours now. Mm-hmm. So we'll use unions so that you can actually take this whole top piece off, move it out of the way, do whatever you got to do with your water heater, put the new water heater, put this right back on, put unions on the new water heater, and union it back on.
Do you use like steel braided lines so that you can move it? Or
not much, no. Tables? We haven't gone much, but we're certainly looking at that right now, actually. Like, would that save us any time and money? Yeah, a little bit.
But if you ever had to wiggle it.
In general, once you lock this thing in, it stays. It's pretty solid because it's got a pipe here and a pipe here that are solid. Right. And then you've got a pump. The solar pump sort of hangs down and off and is hung from the rafters in the end. So you have, it's pretty solid where it is. But you can basically, you know, one man can hold it up and swap another water heater right below it and stick this on top and then do all the plumbing. It's not too complex, but it's different. There's no choice about it. The average plumber is going to say, that looks like about $500 extra bucks.
It'll be a little scary at first.
I think you're saying, that's about $500. Because he doesn't know how long it's going to take. In general. But it's not that much. And the tanks are going to last a long time. We're using a high-quality tank. This is the tank we're
plumbing. Yeah, I mean, that's the key.
Use high-quality. I mean, and there's other people out there that are using, you know, panels from Israel that are less expensive. And less quality, and less long-term success.
So you're using
Florida. Everything we use is made out of Florida. They got the best technology. The heat exchangers are all stainless steel now. The panels are all higher gauge copper, and the glass is all low E. It's all what we want. Now we also rep a Chinese-made product that's an evacuated tube that's a little more efficient, but rarely we'll install those. Maybe a totally east or west facing roof, it's a better deal. But in general, it's not that much of a better deal. And then we can put any size type of water heater a customer wants. To get someone that says, I really want this water heater, I had one that's 20 years old. We'll put whatever water heater you want. But very rarely do people care. They just want to know you're going to put in some quality. So we've chosen to have a system that costs maybe $400 or $500 more to us than we could buy the cheapest parts out there. So that it's going to last, because I mean, we pull them off the roofs that are 25, 30 years old, and we know that the ones that were made right last 30 years. And we take them off the roofs, like I was saying, this roofer buddy, we'll get it hooked up with roofing companies, and say, will you come take them off? Yeah, we'll charge you $200 to take the panels off the roof, and two-thirds of the time, we'll resell them for $150, $200 a piece. $300 a piece, I don't know how good they are, basically. And they'll last. A good quality panel will last 30, who knows, there's ones we're reselling for that are 20 years old, or we're giving a 10-year warranty on it. Yeah, piece of copper lasts a long time.
So if I understand right, you have your pressure, water pressure goes in one of these.
Yep, that's right.
Out this into here.
Back into the tank, yep.
And that goes to here.
Nope. The solar heating portion is sort of is a little bit separate than where the water distribution side is. So we're going to take water off the bottom of the tank. And we're going to bring it up in a pipe. And in fact, let's do this. Let's.
So you're taking the cold out.
Exactly.
Running it back into the thing, and then and you run it back through the.
That's what I'm trying to understand. How do you circulate? Does it circulate through there and then go back in the tank?
Let's do it.
That thing's like just a heat exchanger.
Oh.
Hey, and I've got one for you, too. I've got the mayor of Holly Springs ready for us to go sign him up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's ready. Take it serious. He's totally ready. He's excited. I sent him all the Seattle stuff from them. He's, like, ready to go.
And now, forgive me for not knowing where exactly.
Holly Springs? Right south of Raleigh, down Highway 1, basically.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So, we're going to start putting it together here. Okay, so we're going to start on the bottom of this tank with a...
But that was from 5,000 to 10.
Yeah, it is. As a percentage, I think Holly Springs is the fastest growing city in North Carolina.
As a total, it's
But
still,
it's growing fast.
Something you can put on there.
And he's interested because we worked with a new builder there, and he showed up at an event, and I started bugging him with emails, and he finally said, "I give. I'll meet with you."
Nice.
Yeah, so we'll be glad to invite you to come with us on that.
So you're just out advocating.
Yeah, education is half what we do. Like today, I mean, I'd love to be hiking in Umstead, which is near where I live, with my son and goofing off. Or something like that. But, I mean, half of what we do is basically education. So, we're going to tighten this guy down, and hopefully I can get 360 more around to get it around that side, which is going to be the most aesthetically pleasing side. So at any rate, this will be the bottom drain. So we've replaced the bottom drain with a...
Down.
No, it's got to be right. It's got to be tight anyway. And that's going to be hard to get that last line. That's not going
to go.
Yeah, we've got to back it off.
Give it a pull. Push on that for
you. There, you, yeah, exactly. Thanks. So, in general, we would try to do more prep work in this tank. It didn't get a chance to, so we got to take it all the way out and sort of redo it. Yeah, redo it to make sure it doesn't leak. So we're going to pull off the bottom of the tank. The advantage of the 80-gallon that's kind of our standard tank is that these are both top taps and both have a... And it's nothing off the... You don't have to pop the bottom tap off and deal with anything on the bottom, which is a likely leak point in reality. Okay, so... I think I'm already at the same spot I was before. Okay. All right. We're going to have to live with a little less than the perfect aesthetics for Vic, but it's not going to change anything all the time. Yeah. Okay, so to further answer your question about how does this guy work? How does it basically take the water from the bottom and bring it up and use it? We're going to turn this guy a little bit to the side now, which isn't going to make any major difference. In fact, we'll probably do it like this. So, what we'll do next is we'll grab some copper pipe off the truck and start putting some fittings together. We're going to install the pump on the upside here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to install the pump here. We're going to come up with an elbow, the pump, elbow in. We're going to come out the top. This is a piece of copper wrapped in Cernoy coming out. And then we're going to drop back into this. We're also going to tee this off. We're also going to tee this off so that when he uses water, it'll go down into the tank and then back out the hot port. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, up half, but basically it does circulate.
Yeah, this piece, this heat exchanger becomes a part of your domestic hot water. So if you came down here and cut this line, water would squirt out of your tank. Exactly. This is part of your domestic hot water system, all these in this line right here.
Well, where are you going to put it?
What's that?
Where are you going to put it?
Yeah, we're going to put it over here where you ran out of rinse line. Yeah, yeah. That's.
And the,
we could tuck it in right there if you wanted to. But it's your choice. It doesn't matter to us. Wherever you want to put it.
I guess it makes sense to put where the power is.
And you're going to fill from which point?
Now, this is just a water heater. So the water heater will get filled from the city water.
Okay.
So this is all water heater side.
Right.
Now, on the solar side, we have this is where the water will come out of this. You think of this as a bucket of antifreeze. So the solar will come off of here, and it'll go down, and then we'll put our big green pump here. Yeah, and this pump will sit right here like this and hang from the rafter. And it'll take water out, hit the antifreeze out of the tank, run it up through the panels, and then there'll be a second line from the panels that will come down and return it in the tap on the top. Now, the last thing that we'll attach to this drain back module is a sight gauge. This will have a glass sight gauge, and we'll put that on next.
Cool.
Okay. So we can see how
many gallons go into the system?
This is normally, it's like 10 gallons or so, maybe. Depends on a couple things, but in general, about 10 gallons.
Yeah.
So 4 or 5 gallons of antifreeze, about 50.
Where do your thermistors go?
The thermistor in this tank will go in the bottom. Like you said, we'll disable the electric element to the bottom. We'll pull this off in the bottom. We'll leave the element in, and we'll put the thermistor right up against the tank. We'll tuck it in between the insulation and the metal tank, right in the very bottom of it here. Yeah. So we'll just slip it in right there. It'll have a piece of T-stat wire. And if someone could go outside onto the deck, there's a controller that's plugged in. If you go grab that for us, it's got two little sensors hanging off, and it's plugged into that drop cord. Then we'll bring it down here, and I can show you exactly how that works. We can look at the controller itself and sort of troubleshoot it with you and show you how it works.
And the other thermistor on the panel, does it just go?
It actually clips the top of the panel is a piece of copper pipe. And let me see if I don't have any more traps here so far. Here's our roof flashing. And
I'm just trying to understand the path. That's not water.
That's water. The water's going to come out of there. Why would you have that? That's to recirculate this. You got to recirculate the heat exchanger.
But I mean, does a standard water heater come with that?
I don't know. What is that thing normally?
A boiler drain. It's normally a drain on the bottom. It looks like this. It's normally this.
So in other words, you do have to have a third opening.
Yeah.
You can't just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got two openings. Oh, you got a hot, a cold, and a bottom. Yeah, right. Every water heater has that.
But now, here's the only thing I'm not getting. You got an in and out,
yeah.
And then you got a back and around.
You got
only three ports.
Yeah.
So you must be using one for two purposes.
Right? Correct. The cold water in. That's right. Exactly. Yeah,
there's
right.
A valve that keeps it from going the wrong way?
Nope. It would. There'd be a small amount of bleed into that bottle.
Just because all of the knobs are closed.
So the cold water in is also the hot water return from the exchanger.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's totally correct. Yeah. Yep.
That's right.
So
that makes sense.
What's that?
Then here.
So
it's out of there.
The city water source and then the recirculation back into the tank are the same points.
Correct. That's right. Now with the solar water heater, like an 80-gallon tank, what I call a solar water heater.
You get one already.
It has two extra taps on the top. It has a hot and a cold and a two extra taps. And that is attached.
And in and out, basically.
Yeah, and in and out. Exactly. Yeah.
Instead of
probably,
having to
it's perfect.
Sort of
thank
double duty
you.
Use this for
yeah.
I probably
think to me that's a better thing anyway because you're taking
we're
getting
this
water out.
So he's gonna end up with two water tanks.
He's got two water tanks currently, correct, yes.
Yeah. Well he's going to.
That one in here.
Yeah.
Here.
Back into the cold water.
So
inlet. Do you always do that, or is it, do you ever just have, you just have one, the 180 gallons?
75% of them have a single tank here.
Okay. And basically, the idea is...
I want to make sure I understood that.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Pressure, so you can't... Right.
So, like, my tank, you can take out my 50-gallon tank, and put in the 80-gallon tank.
That's what I was saying.
Like, you already had the backup in.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
If you think about it.
Plus, we still have this, though, right?
Yeah, we still have this no matter what. No matter how we set it up. This heating system will always be there. That's right. Yeah.
You know, you're all hot. When you're using water in the system, it's just flowing through.
Yeah, I have what I mean by water is like rock.
And it's like a sodium part. Yeah, and he was saying you have this mixing valve, too. Are you going to go out for